learned that Noah walked with God, and last week we learned that Noah obeyed God, and today we're going to learn about Noah floating with God, staying with God, abiding with God, and so we will hear what happens when the rains come. Before I read, beginning in verse 11, let's ask God's blessing. God, as your word goes forth, may it create faith in our hearts and make us into faithful people. Thank you for speaking to our lives today. We lift our praise in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the seventh day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. The rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah with his sons, Shem, Ham, and Jephthah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons, entered the ark. They and every wild animal of every kind, and all domestic animals of every kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every bird of every kind, every bird, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters swelled and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. The waters swelled so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole earth were covered. The waters swelled above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds, domestic animals, wild animals, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all human beings. Everything on dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, human beings and animals and creeping things and birds of the air. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those that were with him in the ark. And the water swelled on the earth for 150 days. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's a story, I know it's not true, it's kind of humorous, but it makes a good point. It's about a man that is stepping off the curb so he can cross the street. And as he steps into the street to make his way across, around the corner comes a car that's moving at a pretty quick clip. So the man, seeing the car headed towards him, speeds up so he can get to the sidewalk. Well, the car, seeing the man, decides to correct, and it goes in the same direction that the man decided to go. So when the man sees that the car is still heading, instead of heading for the curb that he started out towards, he cuts back and heads the other way. Well, the driver was thinking the same thing. Oh, no, I'm going to hit this guy. So the driver cuts back to the right, and now he's headed for the man once again. And so the man, seeing that the car is headed for him, he kind of panics, and he just freezes up, and he stands there. The car quickly swerves again to the side, hits the brakes, and comes to a screeching halt, just barely missing the guy. And the driver rolls down the window, and lo and behold, it's a squirrel. And the squirrel says, "Not as easy as it looks, is it?" Well, it's not always easy. Not just crossing the road, but life. And what I love about the Christian faith, and certainly the Bible, is it is incredibly honest and straightforward about life often being a downright mess. No matter how fortunate any of us may feel and how virtuous we are, there comes a time when our luck runs out and life just slams us in the face. Such times we feel much like a squirrel trying to cross a busy street, and it seems like there's just nowhere safe left to turn, no matter how hard we try to dodge the threat of approaching challenges and obstacles. I want you to think about Noah's Ark, which we've looked at the last 2 weeks. It's no pleasure cruise. It was a floating zoo. Did you hear all those animals? I don't know how you think about this story, but there's been oftentimes whenever I read it, I ask myself a lot of questions. I mean, did the animals fight like cats and dogs, especially the cats and dogs? Did the donkeys bray and the coyotes howl at night? Did these 8 relatives really get along with one another, or did they fight like most normal relatives do? Imagine the work involved. Any of you that has been on a farm, you've got a good idea what it's like cleaning stables, milking the cows, and feeding the chickens day after day after day. I've always thought, who of those 8 would volunteer to clean the hippo or the elephant stall? I've often wondered about all those days cooped up inside of Noah's Ark. Could anybody have stood the stink inside had it not been for the flood on the outside? Lewis Smead says in one of his books, "Life is messy." And indeed, we know mainly from our own experience it is. Every parent knows that when they change a diaper. When families fight, when spouses flee, and children suffer, we realize how messy life can be. When sickness arrives and the body weakens and treatments seem limited, we now know firsthand how messy life is. When evil comes and terrorists shoot and deaths arrives, it's obvious that life is messy. When jobs end and hope fails and despair dawns, we realize life can be a mess. But what I want to tell you or draw your attention to this morning from this ancient story is that when life gets messy, don't abandon ship. When there's a flood out there, like Noah who got into the ark, we don't have a big boat to get into, but we are to get into Jesus Christ and there remain, there abide, there dwell. We learn Noah walked with God. We learn that Noah obeyed God and wisely, despite the challenges and despite the hard work, he stayed within the ark. He didn't jump ship. He wasn't man overboard. I'm sure there was probably moments or days where he may have thought about it. We need to realize the significance of this because we are a people that want to get to the promised land without having to go through the wilderness. If you remember, in order to get to the land flowing with milk and honey, the Israelites of Scripture had to pass through the wilderness. It was the lack of good things in the wilderness. It was the threat of serpents and stinging things. It was the having that no sense of direction. It was the uncertainty of not knowing where you would end up that all of those people had to learn to trust God to provide each and every day. Because they knew and they learned from that wilderness experience, Each day brought new threats, but also each day God provided what was needed to make the way. Noah and his family, I'm sure, had to persevere through a desperate struggle. They had to persevere in order to reach the place of God's own making. But it meant going through the wilderness before arriving at a beautiful rainbow. NFL football announcer John Madden, and gosh, I'm glad football season's about to start, he coined the term yards after contact, YAC. It was a statistical measurement that counted the number of yards a runner gained after an opposing player hit him. You may not know much about football, and if you don't, that's okay, but I'm sure you know in the NFL, when an opposing player hits a running back, the running back doesn't throw down the ball and quit. The running back doesn't announce, hey, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home if you're going to play that way. Now, a successful runner learns to keep his legs going even when hit, for that has proven to be what makes the difference in getting extra yards that are needed for that first down or even that touchdown. The best runners in the NFL always have strong YACs, yards after contact, in their stats. Because yards after contact is the runner's way of persevering. The Apostle Paul writes, suffering, yes, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. He knows that being in difficult times prior can increase your odds of surviving more difficult times in the present or in the future. In other words, you come to realize you have a faith that can withstand tests because previously your faith has been tested and made its way through. You've been there, done that, and you've learned that you can often keep your legs moving even after taking a hit. So faith requires perseverance. It isn't always easy. Common day illustration. A man, businessman, is checking out of a Honolulu hotel and he's at the front desk in the lobby and he's squaring up his bill. And as he's doing that, he realizes that he left his briefcase up in his room, but he's in a hurry to get into the limo so he can get to the airport and catch his plane on time. So while he's squaring up his bill, he turns to a nearby bellboy and says, "Son, I think I left my briefcase up in my room. Will you check and make sure that it's there? I'll be down getting into the limo." And the bellboy said, "Yes, sir," and he takes off. Well, it wasn't long at all. The bellboy comes running up to the limo. The man had already paid the bill and got in the car because he was ready to go. He didn't want to be late to miss his plane. And the bellboy says, "Sir, your briefcase is still there." How do we stay afloat when patience and perseverance are gone? Romans 8:28 says that we know that in all things, not some things, all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, Jesus Christ was called according to God's purpose, and He trusted that God works good for those who love Him in all things. And so Jesus, trusting that, became our Savior. Hebrews calls Him the pioneer of our faith. Hebrews makes it clear that Jesus has gone through the temptation temptations and the trials that we face. If you recall, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he could have quit praying and said, God, Father, look, I didn't sign up for this, but actually he did. But he was there contemplating his cross, and he said, if there's another way. But then came that resolve, but Father, your way, not mine. He ran the race of perseverance, and he went willingly to his cross. As a pioneer, the one who goes first, the one who cuts the trail and hacks the way through the wilderness, Jesus makes a path where there is no path. He is the pioneer of our faith. And like Noah, who got inside and stayed inside the ark, we need to get into Jesus, into him, and there abide. He can lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, and that's because he's been there. He can anoint our head with oil even when we are surrounded by enemies on all sides, because he's been there. He knows what it's like to stand in the promised land of resurrection and new beginnings because he's pioneered his way through mean hate, terrible sin, and painful death to experience the rainbow of resurrection. If you had to clean up after the floods of Hurricane Harvey, then you know how messy it is when the waters subside. Homes, so that mold wouldn't start growing, they needed to be gutted and mucked. And so I can imagine, I am sure, that when Noah stepped off the ark in what was certainly not a pleasure cruise, onto a land where maybe the grass was dead because it just got drowned out or because it was just covered up with mud, I would imagine that like any place after a flood, he stepped off that boat into yet another mess. But Noah walked with God. Noah obeyed God. And Noah was willing with God to endure the floods. All of that enabled Noah, despite whatever kind of mess he stepped into, to celebrate the rainbow. For God saved him and his whole family. And he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that walking with God, obeying God, and a willingness to endure messy floods would not be the end of his story. In fact, he and his family went on to a whole new beginning as they celebrated God's rainbow. And if we live by faith, that's how it can be for us as well. Amen. And because we do live by faith and not by sight, and because God has been revealed by speaking to us his word, we do know not only something of what we believe, but who we believe. Let's announce that here in church, and hopefully it'll be something we will continue to announce in word and deed out in the world in which we live. But let's begin by standing and responding in faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed found there in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and because God loves it when we get into His presence, let's do that now by way of prayer. Let us pray. God, we do thank You yet again. For we know Christ was raised up on His cross so that He could raise us up into Your presence forever. And we're glad that You are so pleased to dwell with us, Your people, that You are so willing to be our good and great shepherd, that You are so ready to be our God, our sustainer, our creator and recreator. Thank You for Your faithful welcome. Thank You for Your promises which never fail. Thank You for Your will for our lives that is always victorious. And thank You that Your Holy Spirit is here to help us who are weak become strong. And as we give our thanks, we do pray for those right now, Lord, that are physically weak, fighting illness, or recovering from surgery, or needing their bones mended. We pray for those that are feeling all alone and need the sure confidence that comes from knowing You're present. Be with those on our prayer list and those that enter our hearts and minds throughout the day. But like Noah, help us to be those who don't necessarily go with the flow, but who live according to Your will and Your ways. For we know, trust, and believe that they are the way of blessing. Continue, as You so faithfully done, to grow us and guide us in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Take us as we are and continue to make us in what You would have us be as we come to You praying the way in which Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our going out song is printed there in your bulletin. God be with you till we meet again. Let's stand and let's go out singing that together. God be with you till we meet again. God be in you, go in peace. By His counsels guide and hold us. With His ships securely hold you. God be with you till we meet again. God be as you go, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, both now and forever. Amen. Yeah.